You're listening to Ovule, a horror sci-fi fiction podcast written, narrated, and produced by Brian W. Alaspa. Chapter 10.
You're listening to your radio pirate here. This is K-R-G, and we're on a shortwave band from Denver to the rest of the world. Still alive and still trying to keep the world going. Thanks for being here. Keep fighting, although the word we're getting is that the infected are all but gone. Well, not quite gone, but they've just sort of stopped. Although we're hearing stories of uninfected people being taken in the middle of the night, that's still going on, but there have also been attacks on stadiums and processing centers all across the country. Burn, baby, burn. There have been fires in Rome, Paris, Sydney, Auckland, and all across the U.S. However, the weird red infection we've been noticing on the infected appears to be killing them. We're hearing stories of large numbers of infected people turning into, well, get this, gray blobs. Yeah, you heard it right, and you heard it here. Gray blobs that just sort of collapse into dust when touched. I don't know what that means, but if they're not killing us or turning us and turning into dust, that has to be good, right? Anyway, stay tuned to your Denver Radio Pirate and K-R-G for more news. We've actually got some music for you, so we hope you enjoy this interlude wherever you are. Keep surviving. We might just make it through this.
Dave. How long has it been? I think it's been just about 6 months. I don't really keep track of the days much anymore. There doesn't seem to be much of a point when you're just wandering around. I've been doing a lot of that, wandering around, aimless. I think that the last entry I made was just after setting fire to the stadium, and I was headed out of Denver, but I've spent months just living in the shadows as much as possible. I lived near a rock in the desert for almost a month at one point. Now, I'm finally nearing the outskirts of Chicago, which was my destination, as you recall. I'm in the western suburbs now, living currently in a very nice townhome that had no one in it. No one. No bodies. No gray blobs. No dust. No flowers. No residue of flowers. I'm sure you remember the gray blobs. I saw a few just before leaving Denver, and I've seen a lot more since. Lots of people who have become part of their furniture or grown into the floor. People who no longer resemble people, but just mounds of dead or dying flowers surrounded on all sides by the gray, mossy stuff. Few of them are still alive, looking at me with those wide, terrified eyes, and I have always put them out of their misery. I've run across other fires, too. High school gyms, for example. Minor league stadiums. Whether or not they're doing that because of what happened in Denver or just figured it out on their own, I really don't know. And I've still seen trucks, but they are not very full now, mostly just military guys and cops, but they all look sick to me, sick and dying. Now, the new thing at night is the glow lights. Well, I call them glow lights. During the night, you can see areas of towns, houses, and cities just glowing orange and red, almost as if something were on fire, or like when a fire pit, is dying down. And it's just glowing embers. You see them all over, and I've gone to check them out during the day the next morning and found more people covered in flowers. But these flowers are still alive. And I've had to wear my protective gear just in case. Although none of them have really spewed those spores at me. Just another in a long list of weird things to log, I guess. I don't know what the lights mean. I don't know why there are some flowers still alive while the rest of them seem to be dying. I just know the planet is dying too. The people are dying. Horribly. So I just keep going on. I keep wandering from house to house and trying to survive. I've had to hide for a while, once under a house and once under a car for hours, but I've just kept out of sight. It seems my desire to strike back has been diminished since the stadium. I have a few of those firebombs I created stuffed in my backpack. I think I had 5 when I left Denver. I have had to use 1 since. This was in a small town when I entered the house to find a cram full of infected people melded into the walls, the floor, the furniture. Dave, it was horrible. Men, women, and children, they were all moaning and gibbering, crying. their eyes wide. Several of them had died, just merged totally into the floor or whatever they had come to rest on. I could only stand there for a few moments, choked with horror as they lifted their heads, turned their wide, terrified eyes to me, and tried to raise their hands. I could do nothing to help, so I threw one of the firebombs. I let the house burn and burn, even if it burned down the entire neighborhood. I decided I didn't really care. I haven't gone into too many small towns or suburbs since. I stayed briefly in each spot. One small town was so overgrown with flowers I could barely see the buildings. The local gas station was crammed with flowers like a florist who had gone insane. Many of the flowers, yeah, they were dying, but as I camped outside of town, the town glowed in the night. Colors danced in the sky above, colors like the ones that you see when you look at the Aurora Borealis. It should have dazzled me, the old me, the one who hadn't burned a stadium full of infected people or seen the things I have would have found the lights beautiful, hypnotizing. I would have wanted to study it, but these lights scare me, terrify me to my core. And of course I have a theory, just no way to test it out. I just have to sit back and wait to see what happens. But I think the aliens are sending some kind of signal, whether the signal is just to others on this planet or something into space, I of course don't know. I've come across entire acres of forest which have been rendered useless, covered in gray moss. I came by several fields filled with corn and another with soybeans, also covered in gray moss, just dead and useless. How much has this planet lost now? I know the flowers and plants have shallow roots. Dr. Grossman and I figured that out when we visited the Dashiell farm all those months ago, but I can't help but feel they were just sucking the life out of the planet itself. Sometimes, late at night, I hear gunfire. I don't know if it's survivors or the infected still going about whatever programming the alien invaders have given them. I spend a lot of time afraid, just hoping to get through the night. And lots of times I spend the night just listening to the radio. There are quite a few radio stations now, a few on the FM and AM band, sure, but those still seem mostly like abandoned stations from the time before the meteors, stations still running on an endless computer loop. It's the shortwave bands that are the most fun. I've heard people from around the world, they give out information, and some of them play music. Quite a few of them have religious themes, which is to be expected. It's hard to argue with the pastors and priests who say this is the end of the world, right? It's just a handful of people from all over the planet, but it makes me feel better that there are at least a handful of other people still alive out there, still surviving. And now I've been here in the suburbs of Chicago for a bit, just watching. I think there are other people alive out there, maybe really close by, too. I can hear them moving around in the night outside the windows. I keep my lights out, but the sky glows here something fierce. Not just the glow of streetlights, but those terrifying alien lights. At some point, maybe I should head downtown, perhaps walk right down the middle of the expressway. I need to reach out and find more survivors. We need to find out if there's a way to save the planet. If all these aliens are dying, and the people who they infected are dying, or the aliens are signaling to more aliens, then something else is going to happen. Something soon. Possibly something bad. The sun is going to head down now. I have some food that hasn't spoiled yet I can cook in the kitchen. I think I'll have a hot meal tonight, then head upstairs. You know, there are still TV stations on the air, but they're on some kind of computer loop too, just showing the same things. I think I'll look at the sky. I'll watch the lights and maybe try to get some sleep. I sleep with a gun now, did I tell you? And I'm not sure if I'm still afraid of the infected and that they might come, or the survivors. What if the worst part of all this are the people left alive? My head hurts from thinking too much. Time to eat. Time to watch the lights. Hello again, my friend Dave. I finally met some others from around here. Turns out there were a few squatters in the little subdivision I have made my home for the time being. I met a man named Nathan. He seemed nice enough, but unsure of things at first. I noticed him looking at me through a window. The curtain parted just a little bit, then quickly let go when I looked up at it. The next day, he was out on his porch. I held up a hand as a casual wave, and he seemed to instinctively wave back. And then that very night, there was a knock at my door. I had seen what the infected do. They burst down the door like it was nothing and came rushing in. Besides, it's been days, maybe even weeks, since I saw one of the infected patrols running around. I think things are bad for them, and they are obviously going into some dormant period. The lights the past few nights have been dazzling. Anyway, I got sidetracked there, but I answered the door and it was Nathan, and he held a bottle of Diet Coke in one hand and a bottle of Jack Daniels in the other. And I smiled and let him in. We sat down on the lower level, on an old leather chair and a beat-up dusty sofa. I hadn't spent much time down there myself, but I hadn't really had any company to entertain, so I had, however, spent time outside on the patio, sitting on the old rusty patio furniture, watching the skies and the lights. The sky seemed more active than ever. Maybe it's just the general clearing of the skies from the lack of people and pollution now, but I swear I can see every single star and star cluster. Hell, I sometimes think I can see galaxies spinning out there even without a telescope, plus lots and lots of satellites. Yeah, you can see satellites when you sit there and stare into a crystal clear sky. I don't really know about the galaxies. That's probably my imagination. But that's all I have left, really, right? Nathan and I enjoyed warm Jack and Cokes while sharing stories. Nathan, it turns out, had a family before it all started. The meteors came down near Chicago here, and he was far away from it all. He ignored it at the start, sure the illness was being overblown. In cities like Chicago, the illness part was much, much worse. Within days, the mayor shut down Chicago. All of the suburbs followed. It didn't seem to make much of a difference. Then the infected started coming back to life, spreading the contamination. Nathan said it all deteriorated so fast. The aliens just, as he was calling them now, I think we're all just calling the infected aliens now, since they seem to have just become whatever took them over. Anyway, they seem to just know who to target. Police chiefs, government people, television station owners, television TV anchors providing the information, the radio station DJs. They came for him and his family, and Nathan and his family tried to run, but they got his wife and youngest son. He and his older son tried to stay on the run, but the infected were relentless. Soon, it was just him, and he'd been moving around for months now. He never wanted to leave the area on the off chance he might run into his family again. He said, "I just stumbled across this place," and then he took a really long drink. "I've been here for a while now. I suppose there are infected people in some of the houses. Might be more people like me." I nodded and listened. Then I told him everything I learned. And about Colorado, I let him know I had originally been sent there by the government to learn what was going on. I told him about Dr. Grossman and about how fast things went to hell there, too. I told him about Neil, the group of refugees, and the fire in the stadium. He was surprised at that and smiled. "You did that? No shit." I nodded and affirmed. "Well, they burned the baseball stadium here," he said. "You know, that one on the north side where the Cubs played? Some people burned that whole thing down with all the people inside of it." "Jesus," I replied. I had been to Wrigley Field once, a long time ago. Now to imagine the historic place was gone was a lot to take in. So many things were changed now. "When did the patrol stop?" I asked. He shrugged. "I'm not sure. They just sort of did. I moved into that house there and figured they would just come and get me. I was ready to just drink Jack and Diet Coke until they came for me. And they just never came." I told Nathan about the people who had been turned into gray blobs, and he whistled. I can imagine he was also thinking about his family. I did my best to steady my drink instead of looking him in the face. "Have you seen the lights?" he asked. I indicated that I had. "What do you think they are?" I told him I wasn't sure. I just thought the aliens were going through some kind of transition. Perhaps they were dormant now, just glowing, maybe sending some kind of signal into the air. "Signaling what?" he asked. I told him I wasn't sure about that either. Something was going to happen, though. Good or bad, I wasn't sure, but something. And he replied, "Well, it hasn't been anything good so far." And he drained his glass. "So maybe the planet is just going to crack in half and then implode, go hurtling through space or something." Although I agreed, although I was pretty sure nothing quite so dramatic was going to happen. Outside, the sun was going down, the sunset spectacular all across the skies. We sat there and watched, waited for the glow, and the glow did not disappoint. The horizon of late has been blazed like a separate sunset with golds, reds, purples. They dance and waver across the horizon above the trees. We didn't see any of the glowing coming from within the houses around us, but the treetops in the distance and the forest preserve across the street appear to be on fire with it. We had another drink and talked a little bit more. Then Nathan decided to just stagger his way home. I could see him the entire time. The glowing lights were so bright. I stayed there and looked at the planet's new aurora borealis. And I wondered. I'm so tired of wondering all the time. I just wish whatever the glow meant would just reveal itself. I'm tired of waiting. And just like that, there are four of us. In a loose group now, Dave. Three more people joined us on my patio for drinks the other night. All of us with stories about running, losing friends and family, and managing to survive by hiding. I also managed to impress a few other people my story about the stadium. Guess I did achieve some unknown folk hero status. Debbie, a woman in her late 20s, had some disturbing news to share, however. She said she went for a walk in the nearby forest preserve just the other day, right across the street from my little subdivision. She told us how she had had some experience foraging for food in the woods. She's one of those people who knows which fruits were poisonous and which one of those types of mushrooms could give you a horrific, painful death, and which one were tasty as hell when you cook them and serve them on a hamburger. One of those rare birds who knows all that stuff about nature. Anyway, she said she'd walked pretty far into the wilderness and came across a wide area which was entirely gray. She didn't get close, but the trees, grass, shrubs, saplings, and bushes were all that hideous gray moss. The confusing part is there didn't appear to be any residual flowers here. Not a single dead bloom to be found, just the gray, and not the standard living gray moss either. That sad, dusty gray that happens when the infected reach the end of their lifespan. Something else to worry about now. What does it mean? I walked out there this afternoon in my full protective gear. When I touched one of the saplings, it just crumbled to dust in my hands. I searched and searched for evidence that there had been a meteor strike here. Having seen a few of those locations, I knew what to look for, but could not find anything. If anything, some of the additional trees in the area showed signs of gray rot along one side of their trunks. Just another disturbing aspect of this invasion. The gray seems to be spreading. I think about the ancient tales of burning all the crops from an enemy and then salting the ground. The idea being the ground becomes contaminated so nothing else can grow there, and I think it was mostly symbolic rather than something that actually worked, but perhaps not with these invaders. What if the ground itself has become poisoned because of these invaders? When they leave, will plants just dry up and become dust? The idea of starving to death does not make me feel any more like a conqueror. It is night again, and the glowing has started. More intense than ever. I can't help but notice the blank spot on the horizon of the land is gray dust. But then again, perhaps that's just my imagination. I hope so. Well, tonight the fireflies came. Yeah, fireflies, right? It's been about a month since my last recording, Dave, and there are now 10 of us here and living in this little subdivision. We've all noticed how the trees in the woods across the road from us are turning gray, falling over, or crumbling. But tonight, the fireflies rose into the sky. The best analogy I could come up with. I call them fireflies, mostly because, well, that's what they look like, and I have no idea what else to call them. It was late at night, and I was dozing on the patio, sitting in a chair. Beside me was an empty glass of Jack and Diet Coke. I've taken to sleeping outdoors sometimes. I became suddenly aware of shifting lights outside my closed eyelid. I opened my eyes and gasped. The entire sky was filled with tiny glowing lights. I've seen the Chinese lantern ceremonies where dozens of them rise into the sky on burning candles. This was like that times a billion. There must have been a billion of them. Most of them, little orbs of bright orange light rising and rising into the crystal clear night sky. It was beautiful, but terrifying. Before too long, Nathan and some of the others were out. We stood in the middle of the street with our mouths open. I could hear that buzzing sound in my head again. The insect buzzing? Something I haven't heard in weeks, but it was softer this time. Nathan's the one who just came out and asked, "What are they?" I can only state that I felt that they were the invaders, somehow transformed from meteors and plants into, I don't know, energy? "Are they leaving?" asked Debbie. "I mean, I guess so. They had to be. They appeared to just rise and rise into the sky. And since the sky was so clear, we could see them rise impossibly high. All the way into space? I don't know, but I can guess this had to be the case. I mean, how was that possible? I can't even hazard a guess. No propulsion. How do they break the Earth's gravitational pull? How do they do it? I don't know. But throughout the night, the sky was filled with tiny dancing orbs of fire floating up and up. I turned on the shortwave and heard others around the world reporting the same thing. Even those for whom daylight had come continued to see them rising. It's early dawn here, and the sky is still filled with light, ascending light, endless orbs just drifting, like the planet's soul is leaving. Well, Dave, the invaders are gone. At least I think so. It's been another 2 months now, and for the last 2 weeks, the number of orbs rising in the sky has diminished. It's become a nightly thing here among the ten of us to stay up almost all night watching them. How many have gone up now? I can't even estimate. I have no way of counting the number. The other day, all of us ventured into some nearby neighborhoods. The infected have just become dust, blowing away in the wind. The only thing left are dead flowers now. No more glowing in the night sky like the aurora. I sit here now in the sunlight with my eyes wide and tears streaming down my face. I survived. The entire world has been invaded and much of it apparently destroyed, but here I am in a community, once again, having found people. Yes, the plant life around here continues to turn gray, turn to dust, and yes, there must be millions of corpses of those who were infected still laying around across the world, perhaps slowly turning into dust themselves. Nothing about what may or may not come next appears to be easy. Rebuilding a planet may be impossible, and if the entire ecosystem has been contaminated, then we all might just be as dead as the infected in a few months. I'm still a scientist, though, and all I ever wanted to be able to do was study this phenomenon from a scientific perspective. Perhaps now I'll get the chance. If I can reach out to find others, maybe I can find more information, compare notes, reach some kind of answer. Provided we aren't all starved to death, as I said. I can't say where I'll go next, and maybe I'll just stay here, but Nathan, myself, and two of the other men living here have built our own shortwave radio station now. We built it in one of the abandoned houses, and we plan to start broadcasting tonight, reaching out as far as we can, telling people that we're alive, and trying to tell the world what we know. For the first time in a long time, we have hope. It's a very dim, burning ember of hope, sitting next to a large, blazing fire of fear, but it's still there. I think of Dr. Grossman, Neil, and the others. If part of the consciousness remained within the invaders, perhaps it rose with them into the sky over the past few months. Perhaps some part of those we lost lives on in the collective memory of those spores. I think I'm going to focus on the future now, Dave. Maybe one day I'll travel to Oscar's Mills and see if I can find some parts of your life still there. But for now, I'm focusing on reaching out and trying to see if we even have a future. So I think this will be my last report. The only complete report on the invasion of the planet Earth by a mysterious alien force that infected most of the population, turned billions into mindless hive mind drones, left behind a destroyed system, and rose into the sky to find another place to land. That's my summary. And hey, if you happen to be from some other planet, and you happen to listen to this, and you've come to this planet to find it dead or whatever, I hope there's evidence that we managed to keep fighting for as long as we could. And I hope we found some answers at some point. I hope you're able to see that while we were flawed, we were a well-intentioned species, and I hope you know we tried. Goodbye. You've been listening to the podcast Ovule, a horror fiction sci-fi podcast written, produced, and narrated by Brian W. Alaspa. This is the final chapter, and I know it may not have ended exactly like you hoped. I hope you enjoyed the journey as much as you can. If you'd like to read more of my work, I have almost 50 books and novels available, and you can look for my name at Amazon. I also have a number of audiobooks available, having worked with a number of very, very talented audiobook narrators. You can get them in ebook and paperback and audio, and search for me at Amazon. And I do hope to be creating more podcasts, perhaps fiction, perhaps some nonfiction, and I will release them as soon as they are available. Thank you so much for listening to Ovule, and I do hope that you will patronize the sponsor and recommend this to somebody else. Thanks so much for this journey, and I'll be back soon.